children and for people who weren't even there or even know what was happening. Renown, right? Fame. What are you known for far and wide? You can say the names of famous people, and if you're famous enough, everybody will know who that person is, right? You could say the name of a friend, and they're not famous, so I could say my friend's name to Sandy, and she won't know who that is. But if I say to Sandy something like Bill Gates, or if I say, we all know the presidents, right? If I say Biden or Trump or Obama or Bush, things come to mind, both positive and negative sometimes. But that's what fame's about. And then some people are even known by one name, right? Oprah, Madonna, Shaq, LeBron, Sting. I mean, one name is all it takes. They don't even need a first and a last anymore. The name of God has fame, right? It is known. It brings things to mind. So this is a story that we learn when we're kids. There's a beggar, and he's asking for money. He can't walk. Peter says, silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk. I would guess that's not what that guy was asking for. Probably he had given up on that long ago. He was just hoping for some money. So taking him by the right hand, they helped him up, or Peter helped him up. And instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped to his feet and began to walk. Then he went with them into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. When all the people saw him walking and praising God, they recognized him as the same man who used to sit begging at the temple gate called Beautiful. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what happened to him. While the man held on to Peter and John, all the people were astonished and came running to them in the palace called Solomon's Colonnade. When Peter saw all these people running, he said to them, "Fellow Israelites, why does this surprise you? Why do you stare at us as if by our own power or godliness we had made the man walk? The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified his servant Jesus. You," he gets a little personal here, "you handed him over to be killed, and you disowned him before Pilate, though he had decided to let him go. You disowned the holy and righteous one and asked that a murderer be released instead to you. You killed the author of life." Wow. "But God raised him from the dead. We are witnesses of this. By faith in the name of Jesus, the man whom you see and know was made strong," that man who could not walk. "It is Jesus' name and the faith that comes through him that has completely healed him, as you can all see." Remember in Babel, they tried to build a name for themselves. Oh, apart from God's name, kind of started to happen here. People came and were just amazed. Peter, wow, I'm starting to learn the name of Peter. He can do stuff. And he says, it's not our power. I don't have godness. I don't have God's name, right? Let me tell you about who really did it. Okay, this is an interesting story. "Once when we were going to the place of prayer, we were met by a female slave who had a spirit by which she predicted the future. She earned a great deal of money for her owners by fortune-telling. She followed Paul and the rest of us, shouting, 'These men are servants of the Most High God who are telling you the way to be saved.'" That seems like a good thing to be telling people, right? "She kept this up for many days. Finally, Paul became so annoyed," interesting use of word there, "that he turned around and said to the Spirit, 'In the name of Jesus Christ, I command you to come out of her.' At that moment, the Spirit left her." Her words were not wrong, right? They were servants of the Most High God. They are telling everybody the way to be saved. But her purpose was not to tell the truth. Her purpose was to make money for some other people, to get attention, right? To tell the future. She had a spirit in her. She could predict the future. There's a whole other sermon that could be spoken about this, because it's interesting. But that's another day. The people were mad that we're making money off of her. They mad, so they started making stuff up about Paul and Silas and got them thrown in jail and beaten up because they lost their source of income because they did not stand for the name of Jesus. The name of Jesus, in the literal sense, was spoken correctly, but the purpose was not. Okay. Let's see. This is Colossians. Yeah, so there's a whole lot of don'ts and do's right before this verse on how to live, basically how to live successfully. Don't do this, don't do this, don't do this. That will help you. Do this, do this, do this. And then it says, and whatever you do, whether in word or deed, stuff you say or actions you take, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. So yeah, there's lots of good advice. People can live good lives, but do it all in unity with the character of God, the purpose of God, the nature of God. And that purpose will then give thanks to God the Father through you. And then Jesus says, first words of Jesus here, he's talking about his name, and I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. That's a big promise. And then there's the ifs in there that doesn't have, I don't think it has the actual word if, but if you're doing it in my name. Sometimes we just kind of read, I will do whatever you ask. You may ask me for anything, and I will do it. Right? But if you are unified with God's nature and his reputation, if that's your reason, then now we're on to something. So that the Father may be glorified. This is not Tower of Babel. This is not to glorify yourself or anything about your own purposes or your desires. This is for the glory of God. This is how the name doesn't work. Some Jews who went around driving out evil spirits tried to invoke the name of the Lord Jesus over those who were demon-possessed. They would say, in the name of Jesus, whom Paul preaches, I command you to come out. So there were seven sons of a Jewish priest who were doing this, and one day the evil spirit answered them. This is not what they expected or wanted. Jesus I know, and Paul I know about, but who are you? Then the man who had the evil spirit jumped on them, and overpowered them all. One man overpowered seven. He gave them such a beating that they ran out of the house naked and bleeding. Really bad. When this became known to the Jews and Greeks living in Ephesus, they were all seized with fear. And the name of the Lord Jesus was held in high honor. Now, there's some interesting things in this. So notice that the seven sons said, in the name of the Lord Jesus whom Paul preaches. It's like, I've heard about this, and so I'm going to try to link into that, but there's not a personal knowing that they had. There was not a personal connection or unity with this Jesus. Just trying to get in from the outside, right? And then what it doesn't really explicitly say in the story is that Ephesus kind of had some issues with demons and spirits at this time. And this whole thing, this circumstance here, if we read later on in Acts, it turned into people that were kind of Christ followers, Jesus followers, confessing that they were still kind of involved with some of this demon work, this spirit work. And so they burned a whole bunch of scrolls. It says it was worth millions of dollars. They brought this out into the open. It was no longer kept in secret. And so that lost its power. Things are more powerful when they're in secret, right? Things of the devil. When they're out in the open, they lose that power. And so all of that brings the name of the Lord Jesus high honor. Reputation, right? Caused the name of the Lord to spread widely and grow in power. That's later on in the same chapter of Acts. This whole story caused that to happen. So we focused a lot on God's name, right? And that's kind of where my mind started. But God gives names as well, right? There's several examples of this in the Bible. We know Abram turned into Abraham, Sarai, if I say that right, turned into Sarah, Jacob, turned into Israel. Simon was given the name Peter. And there were promises attached to each of these situations. Right? Abram means exalted father. Yeah. Abraham means father of many nations. So not only was it just father, it was now I promise that you will be the father of all the nations. And if you look at the table of nations in the Bible, his sons and Ishmael and Isaac and how they turned into many, many nations. Same thing with Sarai and Sarah. Jacob into Israel, right? Promised the nation of Israel would come from him, and it did. And the rock of Peter, meaning rock, upon whom he will build his church. Promises are there. He gives names that point to his name. He makes promises that will then glorify him. In each of these situations, not the Tower of Babel situation, they were trying to build a name that would glorify themselves. God gives us names that glorify himself. We're going to watch a little clip here. I'll go to this blank screen if you want to pull that up. About names that can get given and what it can mean. Okay, go ahead, Eric.
How can I let this happen?
Hey, you okay?
This is all our fault.
Hey, look at me. It's your fault. It's everyone's fault. Who cares? Are you up for this? Are you? Look, I just need to know because the city is flying. Okay, look, the city is flying. We're fighting an army of robots. And I have a bow and arrow. None of this makes sense. But I'm going back out there because it's my job. Okay, and I can't do my job and babysit. Doesn't matter what you did, what you were. If you go out there, you fight, and you fight to kill. Stay in here, you're good. I'll send your brother to come find you, but if you step out that door, you are an Avenger. Yeah, the city is flying.
So obviously there's a lot of action and excitement there. But that lady, Wanda, she was a kind of a bad guy majority of that movie leading up to then. And she realizes she caused some of this terribleness that's happening right now. And the other guy says, it doesn't matter. Yeah, it's your fault. It's our fault. It's all of our fault. Sometimes the lives that are messy that we live in are our own fault, right? A lot of times. But don't only focus on that. You have a chance to now join a different team, right? You have a chance to step into alignment with us, and you will then get a new name. Doesn't matter what you've done. You have the chance to make a choice and get a new name. God has given each of us a new name. He's given each of you a new name. He's given me a new name. It doesn't matter what we've done in the past, who we used to be. If we are willing to say we're all in with what he's about, his nature, what he's known for, we are offered a new identity in him. A new identity. And that means everything. I read that as Christ followers, we have more in common with someone living in a Nigerian village in inconceivable poverty that is a follower of Christ than we do with someone who lives in our neighborhood that looks like us, that is in our political party, that doesn't follow Christ. And social media tells me otherwise, you know? These are my people that I agree with and look like and act like. At the surface, sure, I can understand that, but at the core, our identity, that is not true. So I'm going to invite the worship team up here. They're going to close us with another song, and they're going to play for a little bit first. I'm going to ask you to do something kind of risky. Take out your cell phone. Try not to look at text messages that you've received during the service, but start a new text message to yourself. If you don't want to do that, just take out a piece of paper. That's fine. And here's what I would like you to do. You're going to write two text messages or write down two things. The first I would like you to do is between one and three things that are not your name. Maybe they're things that used to be your reputation or things that you are known for but you know aren't true. Things that are not your nature. Maybe they were but aren't anymore. Okay, so that's the first thing. One to three things like that, and call that false names. You can put that right in the text. False names. And then you're going to send a second one, and you're going to call this one true names. And I want you to write down one to three things that you know are true about your identity now. What name has God given you so that he might be known? How has he made you? What strengths and gifts has he given you that glorify him? A little self-reflection here. In what ways do you bless or inspire or lead others that can be used for his glory? Things that can make God's name, God's nature, God's reputation known. So false names and then true names. And then later, if you're having struggles of identity, you can go into your texts or find this piece of paper and search for true names and pull it up to remind yourself. If you don't yet have that new name because you haven't yet made the choice to get in on that, feel free to find me afterwards. There are folks here who would love to talk with you, answer questions, pray with you. That new name is available. That new identity, that new nature that is unified with the name of God is available for all of us.
The highest King would welcome me. I was lost, but he brought me in. Oh, his love for me. Oh, his love for me. Who the sun sets free. Oh, is free. Child of God, yes, I am. Free at last, he has ransomed me, his grace runs deep. While I was a slave to sin, Jesus died for me. Yes, he died for me.
A place for me. I'm a
child of God, yes, I am.
I am chosen.
I am chosen, not forsaken. I am who you say I am. You are for me, not against me. I am who you say I am.
I am chosen.
I am chosen, not forsaken. I am who you say I am. For me, not against me. I am who you say I am. I am who you say I am. Who the sun sets free, always free indeed. I'm a child of God. Yes, I am. In my Father. There's a place for me. I'm a child of God. Yes, I am. I am child of God. Yes, I am.
Say it one more time.
I'm a child of God. Yes, I am.
I would encourage you, if you feel like you need to confirm that with another person, maybe what you wrote or maybe what God's speaking to you or the identity he's trying to impress on you, it will help you to retain it and obtain it, to have another person to share it with and to pray with you and just to do that. So do that today if you need to. If you're having a hard time knowing that's really me, do it. Grab another person. Yeah, amen. Thank you, Daniel. Go in peace in your new identity.